Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your hosts, Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss. And that's the winner. That's the winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.
The best guests, the best insight.
Lofton with his team down by two to the corner. Caputo! No good! And it's over! St. Louis is going dancing!
All backed by over 40 combined years of covering the biggest events in St. Louis sports.
Blues have the puck. Thomas off the wall. Shoots, and it's in!
Let's go.
They score! It's the St. Louisan! Pat Maroon! Bring out the Zamboni! Pat Maroon just put the city on his shoulders, and he saves them to the conference finals!
Now, here are Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan KFNS and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box, all new 590 The Fan. Frank, Martin, Plowsy, Brian, we're all here today. So much to discuss. Rick Horton's going to join us, Dr. Rick, and of course the great Kenny Wallace. You know, I had this philosophy that if I get on the scale, which I do every day, and I'm a little bit lighter than normal, I'll splurge that morning. And so Ann Allred has been telling me about this Nathaniel Reed Bakery, which is right down the road, Manchester and Guyer. He's regarded as one of the greatest pastry chefs our town's ever known. And he's famous for the almond croissant. Oh. So I just went in there and had one. And I promise you, I won't be light tomorrow. But oh my gosh.
So wait a minute. Frank was just there, and now he's... Now he's here.
And I don't see a bag. I don't see a...
I couldn't...
What a great story to share with all of us.
Wow.
All right. That's
so
the new goal.
Like, sounds like a really tasty treat. Maybe
yeah.
Something that we wouldn't mind, I don't know, sampling.
Down the street, too. Real convenient.
Pretty pricey, too. But anyway, you know how when you get the croissants...
Hold on. Frank paid for something?
Yes. Food picks. You know how when you go to, like, Sam's and you get those big croissants? And they're tasty. I'm not denying it. But they're like, as soon as you take a bite into them, there's like nothing there. It's completely hollow. This is just filled with stuff and lots of almonds. And it's just, oh, wow.
So kind of a sweeter treat.
Yes.
Whereas some croissants are just kind of plainish.
Yeah, just flakiness, boom, you know. And
well,
that's a little chocolate.
Hoff, I might have to send you up the road here to get, you know, the rest of the staff something to eat. Sounds
now.
Like a great treat, Frank.
No, I'm totally stuffed from my tiny bowl of cereal I had about 2 hours ago. So it's okay.
Plus,
I didn't
you've been
it.
Here, what, 5-6 hours? Probably had a bowl
You're
of
You're
going to
make your own pizza tonight. I heard
yeah,
you talking
but
about
it. Ozzy had some sugar pie or whatever.
I eat so much here in the morning.
You're fine. You're good.
A couple crumb cakes, a couple bananas. So we're good. We're good
And you're claiming that your pizza can turn out better than, say, Farachi's.
Look, when I want to put time and effort into it, get the seasonings out, get that red, crushed red pepper. Get the Chipotle ranch going, take out the pizza halfway through the cook cycle, the reseason, and then put it back in to finish. Yes, it can rival any in the area of St. Louis.
Will you bring in a little sample for us to try? I mean, I brought in the Scout Pizza, which was
true.
A big hit.
That was actually really good.
Not only my Scout Pizza that was a hit with you guys, I mastered the delivery. I brought it in. Remember, I kept it very warm for you guys.
That was good.
No offense to Iggy's plate of food that I'll never touch. No offense. But if Plowsy brings in a little slice of pizza, I would like to sample that.
It's very good. And I promise that will be oregano on that pizza and nothing else.
By the way, I played a little bit of golf at that CBC Open yesterday. And
of us could enjoy golf.
One of our sales guys... At Fox 2.
Seems to be a theme today. All you guys just having food and bringing none of it to the station.
I didn't say anything about food, but playing golf. And he said, you know, I grew up in Brentwood. I said, oh, did you know Kenny Strode? He said, yeah, Iggy and his brother Twiggy. And I said,
Twiggy?
Wait a minute.
What?
I've never, in all the years of hearing Iggy's stories, he said, yeah, I had a brother. We called him Twiggy. And I said, what? So we may need to talk to Kenny at some point. And I know he gets plenty of airtime between 7 and 10, but is there
a Twiggy
story? Unless I was being goofed on, this guy said, no, we all grew up in Brentwood, all the cornfields, and he said, I knew Iggy and I knew his brother Twiggy. So I didn't know that there was a Twiggy to go with Iggy.
Wow.
I'll do a little digging for you guys, okay?
All right, our opening monologue is brought to you by Worldwide Technology Raceway, the Bomberito 500, coming up August 24th. Get your tickets now. Lap one. We don't ask for much, we sportscasters, we talk show hosts, we Cardinal fans. We just want the guy hitting 368 and with an OPS over 1,000 to play in St. Louis and not Memphis. My theory comes down to one-game thoughts here. I could care less if Memphis wins one more game. Randy Arozarena could help you win a game, and making the playoffs could easily come down to one game. And I'm telling you, he better be in the lineup tonight. DH is in place. Maybe a nice idea to have Marcell Ozuna DH. How about this one? Go with Arozarena, Fowler, and Thomas in the outfield. Ozuna's your DH, and then Edmund, DeJong, Wong, Goldie, and Molina. That would be the lineup of the people. The lineup of the manager, though, I don't think he's doing it. My guess, he's not sitting Matt Carpenter twice in a row, especially in a building where Matt Carpenter hits 400. But, boy, he has got to play Randy Arozarena tonight.
I would think so. And Lane Thomas, you can't put him in the cooler after we did it on Sunday. But that means he would have to sit in this scenario where you've got to play Carpenter and you want to see Arozarena, and Lane Thomas is coming off that red-hot game. Does he sit Tommy Edman, who is sort of the teacher's pet at this point?
Who's got six or seven hits in the last three games. I think it comes down to, does he sit Matt Carpenter and play Lane Thomas? I doubt it. I think he's going to play Matt Carpenter somehow.
Okay, but Edman sits, do you think, tonight or no?
Boy, he's a right-handed pitcher, too, tonight for the Royals, who's miserable. He just sat Carpenter.
All right, if you had to lay a milkshake bet,
I would bet he plays Carpenter.
The guy that doesn't play in this scenario, the one guy getting left out, would you say it's Arozarena? That it's, hey, he just got here, oh, we'll find a chance for him. I think there's a chance that he's on the bench. I think it's a mistake. I think Tommy Edman could sit tonight. I think his body of work said that nice weekend, yes. I think I'd sit Tommy Edman.
Okay, but even though we got a right-handed pitcher, wouldn't it make more sense to sit? Well, Thomas.
Yeah, I want to see Lane Thomas back out there.
Yeah.
I mean, a guy that does what he did on Sunday, he deserves to play.
Gosh, it would be terrible if Arozarena doesn't start tonight. Oh, it'd be terrible.
And historically, they bring these guys up. They do throw them right out there. They should. That's what I would do. But Mike Schilts, loyal to Carpenter, loves Edmund.
And then the I'm big article convinced. Today about Carpenter's numbers at Kauffman Stadium, they're unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm not... I know what we would do. I'm just not convinced what they will do. But well, I'd love to see Arozarena play right away. Why not?
Yep. Lap two. I wonder how often the Cardinals brass actually looks at the offensive numbers. I just took another look at it last night. And just how inept can one offense be? I mean, I wonder when the last time the Cardinal brass has looked at the offensive numbers and looked at 25th in runs, 25th in slugging, and 25th in batting average. You know, there are a lot of really bad teams in Major League Baseball, teams that tank, teams that don't care, teams that have no reason even being in the big leagues. And you're 25th. It's unbelievable. And their leading hitter is Colton Wong. He's hitting .267. The commission had a great stat the other day. The last time the Cardinals had a season where they didn't have a .270 hitter was 1907. 112 years. So to sum this up, with every game so precious, you better start the guy who's coming off a game where he tripled and homered as opposed to the guy who's hitting .217.
Yeah, and I think, looking at that lineup, who do you blame? Well, we found out they blame the assistant hitting coach.
George Badaska.
Yeah, doesn't John Mabry laugh a little bit? That they've had a long history of firing. Even under Tony, there were a lot of hitting coaches. Right? Mike Easler came and went. Dave Parker came and went. George Hendrick came and went. Hal McCray had a pretty long run.
Yeah.
Ultimately, he gets blamed. Well, they made room for McGuire when they got rid of Hal McCray. But it's startling when you look at the number. I realize in baseball, I think Andy Van Slyke said it. Nowadays, you're hitting .270. You're actually a pretty good hitter. So the numbers have shifted a little bit.
We take that.
But it is alarming how bad the offense is. And ultimately, that's the front office. This is the team you've assembled. It's just not a very good hitting team. I'm sure Mark Badaska is laughing, saying, all right, you get these guys to hit.
I wonder how that set in with somebody like Colton Wong, who really gives Badaska a lot of credit. And he's a popular guy, a real nice fella.
Yeah, he seemed to be really popular. An older guy, but all the young guys loved him. It had to be the new guy. Jeff Albert just didn't feel they were on the same page. And I think Mike Gersh sort of alluded to that, mixed message. I don't know. Is this going to... It feels a little cosmetic. Like, all right, we're making some changes around here. We're going for it around here. And it... And they're not doing it just for that, but every once in a while there's a firing and you look at it and say, is this just done to kind of appease the crowd?
Yeah.
It's probably a little more than that. But Jeff Albert hasn't had much success as a first-year hitting coach, so this shifts the focus back to him when you fire the guy standing next to him.
All right, lap three. So last night we profiled the only Lindenwood baseball player to make the big leagues, Jeff Hartley. Quickly, Highland High School, Quincy for basketball for 1 year, then Lindenwood, 29th pick, went to a Pirates training camp, spring training, where there were 400 players, and somehow he got to the big leagues pretty quickly. The reason I bring this up is this. He was discovered after the Quincy basketball season. He was playing catch in this, like, student rec area, like this little gym. And there's a Quincy catcher who was watching him throw, and he saw him throwing really hard. He's just playing catch, and he says, hey, well, you got to come out for the team. So they brought him out to a practice, and they were really impressed. They said, hey, you could be on our team this year. And he decided to go to Lindenwood. But it leads me to this. If he would not have played catch in front of that Quincy catcher, where would he be right now? I mean, he would have spent his time at the Mark Twain Fieldhouse playing against Umsel, kind of what I did. And where did that lead me? I'm in a Kirkwood studio with a guy named Plowsy, producer named Wet Blanket, and a co-host.
Called 2020. To know.
That's right.
Bad enough you didn't bring us any sweets earlier. Now you're knocking us?
Sorry.
Hold on. Plowsy, Wet Blanket, and 2020.
Wow.
Sounds like a kid's book or
you wouldn't something. You wouldn't even have anything to watch if it wasn't for my recommendations.
Sure.
Be around just for the entertainment.
Well, there's a division in the room.
But instead, this guy's throwing a ball 100 miles per hour in the big leagues. So I'm asking, this is a question for all three of you here.
Oh, now he wants our opinion, guys.
Yes. What is your what-if game? Like, if I didn't do this, I wouldn't...
Career.
You got discovered how?
Oh, I was just an intern for Joe Roderick.
So you blame Joe Roderick for all this.
So you're wondering, how did I end up here?
No, I'm wondering, man, if I would have just picked a different major...
Yeah,
I'd have a different
I'm
career.
I'm with that, too. Plowsy, actually.
Charlie Marlin and I kind of had a text back and forth about this career choice last night, wondering how we ended up, where we ended up. Not necessarily any positive
And
life.
I love it. And I, you know, you meet great people, and I love working with the people I work with here.
Sounds like it.
And some stories that are, yeah, Strickland, I hate the career, love the people.
You're my guy, Frank.
But I think that's the easiest one I could point out, I think, to where...
So if you're not an intern... How did you get selected to be an intern?
Joe Roderick is a Western Illinois alum. He came and talked with our class when I was...
Wait, and you were so impressed with him.
How was that talk?
Hold on.
Let's
not... By the
you guys
way,
like wrestling?
By the way, this is the second Joe Roderick. He came a year before as well. The second time, I'm like, oh, St. Louis, you know, it's not like I wouldn't...
All right, so if he doesn't come to your class... You are not here today.
Absolutely.
All right. Brian, what is yours?
Probably a major. I don't know if there's one particular moment, but maybe if I diversified my studies a little bit more in college.
Yeah.
So if you would have, Wait a minute, elaborate.
I mean, I was a good student in college, more so if I had taken a more diverse range of classes. How about?
You'd say if your dad didn't buy that auction.
Oh, no. That's not it. I enjoyed that night.
No, I'm not saying it's bad.
But Frank and I are saying we kind of opened the door for you. You got to know a couple of big hitters, Martin and Frank.
I always went into college wanting to go into radio.
Okay.
So I think maybe
yeah,
if...
Me too.
Yeah, I was always interested in that. So I kind of figured maybe if I had... Just let me know what happens. Let past me know what it's like. Maybe I would have taken a more wide range of courses for... Just to open myself up a little bit more.
All right, Martin.
Should have gone to law school for that theme.
Maybe not law school.
I would say, kind of career-wise, how you ended up where you end up, it was probably, if I hadn't interned at this NBC station in Milwaukee, I hadn't met this guy, Al, who was a Marquette guy. Long story short, he ends up in Rhinelander as the news director. And I was in Flagstaff. It was fun because it was Arizona. But I was kind of buried out there. It was a really low-paying job. Even though the Rhinelander
job... So he brought you the thriving metropolis from Rhinelander.
But if I don't get...
We left Flagstaff for Rhinelander as a positive.
But if I don't get that sports gig, this is, I know this is all glorious. Costa's story is a little different. But if I don't get the NBC job in Rhinelander, I don't end up in Madison, which was a better job, and I don't end up in St. Louis. I think I kind of would have had a different path. I think I would have gone from Flagstaff, married to maybe like Tucson. And
then you'd be
Rhinelander
in LA.
Rhinelander was the key.
That was the key.
His stepping
My guy Al, because I go back to interning at the NBC, it opened a door that opened another door, which led to this door, which I wish would have been shut.
I love how the first three are, man, I really wish the career path would have been
all of us. I'm telling you, my text, last night Charlie and I were texting back and forth, and the theme was very similar.
You know, they say statistically Tuesday is the most depressing day of the week because you're far from the weekend and you're off on Monday, whereas Monday you're off the weekend, you're feeling pretty good. I feel like the first 15 minutes or so of the show is a pretty good look into a depressing Tuesday.
Tuesday's always the
worst
day.
All right, but now I'm not going to go career with mine. I'm going to go
Monique.
Monique, got me. Because she's listening today.
No, she never has, never will. Nautilus Workout Facility, 1980, where I worked. This dark-haired Greek-Italian woman walks in. And I'm thinking, if I am not working there at that time, I never meet this woman. I probably have more money and date more now.
You
see, it ends up being a negative.
I could see Frank as a single guy just bringing home boxes of pasta and just.
No, he'd be at Bristol's every night. Still working the Nautilus machine before he walked in.
That's right. Still. Get a lift.
Me that guy.
Squeeze the steering wheel, get some blood going before I walk
Alex,
in.
Alex, who's your mother dating these days? You want to meet me up at happy hour? TVG and I are going to have a drink.
We'll both be wearing turtlenecks. Lap four. The loudest voice. Plowsy, I've trusted you on all of your suggestions. You have to trust me here.
I will.
Only a few episodes in, but I've put Boardwalk Empire on hold. Yes, it's gone to the sidelines for a little bit.
Ooh.
Russell Crowe is as compelling as Roger Ailes in building this empire. He represents every bad trait of a boss or a CEO. He treats people like crap. He's misogynistic. He's egotistical. And yet, I feel like I've had bosses like him my entire life. Not, of course, now. But let's play just a little bit of this.
On television, the audience, they want you to be their friend and their mother and their lover. And you've got to be prepared to give all of that. I run Fox News.
There is no Fox without you.
What's Roger like?
He's a bully.
I'm a multifaceted man.
I'm broadening my audience.
I hired you because you're a beauty queen.
That's a girl.
See how much easier everything is when we're on the same team.
No one has brought down a man as powerful as Ailes. When he goes down, a lot of other women are going to speak up.
They're all liars. It's my word against theirs. You have no proof.
I will not settle until I get my apology.
Gretchen Carlson, $20 million.
You know, it's funny. You talked about this show, and then I played golf with our general manager yesterday, and he said, is anyone watching this Roger Ailes thing?
Really?
And he's watching it, and I said, what's your takeaway? He said, wow, was he a pig.
mean, what streaming service is it on?
And I think everybody, I mean, Showtime on demand? How he treated people. I mean, wasn't he a pig and how he treated everybody?
The worst.
And not just physically kind of look like.
This is the worst. Remember when Hannity was with Combs?
Oh, yeah.
Hannity and Combs? Combs, of course, was the liberal. And Roger wanted to make him look as bad as possible. So he told the makeup person, no more powder for Combs. I want to see him sweat.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if he really said that, but it's just it so diabolical.
I remember Combs from CNN. He would sit in on the Crossfire show.
Yeah.
Remember Crossfire?
That's right.
Pat Buchanan?
Nixon speechwriter from St. Louis. He worked for the Globe Democrat.
Pat Buchanan did?
He worked for the Globe. I don't know if he's actually from St. Louis, but he lived here for a while.
That was the original.
We don't need to remember that show.
No, come on.
Crossfire?
That was the original political
debate. Who was the guy
debate?
With the glasses?
Older guy?
Yeah.
Tom something? But that was. I mean, my grandfather used to watch that show. That's going back 30 years at least. They started, I think, to CNN's credit, the great political debate TV show. Don't you think? Don't you think
right.
as the original?
Yeah, for sure.
Political debate show.
Now, I do have to ask. You texted me over the weekend about The Sinner.
Yeah.
Have you finished it or?
No, I'm into that too.
It's so good. Oh, I'm actually into season two. Me and Frank have like the same wavelength, and we're always watching.
Have you seen the center? Oh yeah, I'm already 6 episodes in.
Yeah, he texted me, and I just finished the last episode of season one, like 20 minutes prior. I was like, "Yep, it's already done."
Yeah, the center is a good one on Netflix.
This would be a great conversation to wash down with a croissant, wouldn't it? This is would be.
Lap 5. Did you hear that Dak Prescott turned down a $30 million a year contract from the Cowboys? He wants 40. Russell Wilson makes 35. His QVR, the one from, the one from ESPN, which is the lower one, it's 55.2. But let me just say, it's ranked 17th in the league. 16 quarterbacks are ahead of this guy, including the great Andy Dalton, Kirk Cousins, and Jameis Winston, all higher. I'm not saying he's not a bad quarterback. He's a solid quarterback, maybe above average. But 22 touchdowns, 8 picks. I understand the accent is on quarterbacks and the de-emphasis is on running backs. But in Dallas, there's probably a way to win without Dak. I don't know if there is a way for them to be great without Ezekiel. I don't know. Maybe this could be the exception where the running back is more important. But it just seems crazy that they're going to pay him 30 and Ezekiel's, they're not going to pay him.
Let me tell you, you got a top 5 wide receiver, you got the best running back in the NFL, you got the best offensive line, and you have a team that spends a lot of money in free agency. I mean, who wouldn't thrive in that system? It's almost hard to find a quarterback that's starting in any other team that wouldn't be significantly better with just by putting on that uniform, playing behind that offensive line, being able to hand it to Zeke 25 times, pass it to him 10 times.
Yeah.
The play action's unbeatable. You're playing on turf. You have Amari Cooper. I'm sorry. You can find a $10 million quarterback.
You're right.
I mean, Nathan Peterman would be productive.
The problem is their backup quarterback is a guy named Cooper Rush who really hasn't played at all. So.
Well, that's the problem is it's a two-quarterback league. The NFL is absolutely a two-quarterback league.
But what's crazier? The fact that they offered Dak Prescott $30 million. Or that he turned it down.
That he turned it down.
You don't know what was guaranteed either, which in the NFL, that's the number you need to know.
But have you seen nowadays, this free agency, you're seeing quarterbacks and some defensive players get almost 90% of it guaranteed. Whereas
the fact that that number was leaked, that came from the Cowboys.
Yeah, okay.
So
now,
the fact
Mike
that
is reporting that he didn't turn down that offer.
Okay.
Wow.
So.
But that came from the Cowboys. They want you to know that, which means probably if it was offered, the guaranteed dollars weren't in line with what other quarterbacks
were. Yeah, because I think Wentz got – I mean, Kirk Cousins, I think all of his was guaranteed money. If not, mostly all of his money was guaranteed. So nowadays in the NFL, you're kind of seeing players get rewarded with these long-term contracts and most of it being guaranteed.
You don't think Jerry is trying to spin it a little bit and make Dak look bad to the fans,
yes,
maybe?
Yes, would never do that.
What Ezekiel is doing, though – is a little, I mean, I get the first time anybody's, I'm one of the first times where he's got 2 years left on the deal and he's trying to renegotiate. And I get you have Todd Gurley instances where you pay him too early and you don't have to. But gosh, the guy's got 2 rushing titles and he's only 24 years old.
If you're giving $30 million to anyone, I mean, short-term deal, I would give a 3-year, $30 million per year deal for Ezekiel Elliott in 2 seconds over giving it to Dak.
And I understand in the game right now, the quarterbacks are more important. Running backs, the value has been diminished. But I think over the next 3-4 years, the more important piece on that team is Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, yeah.
But running backs nowadays are a dime a dozen. But it doesn't, I don't know, just look at the Cowboys. What's your blank? It's like they need Zeke more than they need Dak.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Or harder to replace.
Was there a running back? Would you rather have Ezekiel or Barkley?
Age-wise, I'd just take Saquon Barkley taking less hits. But they're almost the same player. They're great out of the backfield, and they're powerful, and they're deceptively quick.
I think those two are – and then the next tier is Le'Veon Bell probably,
and
right?
You got I think Gurley is definitely in that mold.
Oh, boy, I don't know. I mean, would he – if he's healthy, for sure.
But he's proven that he's a workhorse, and that's about it. Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon's a really good running back as well. So
another guy who's got some contract issues.
Yes.
All right, lap 6, stream of con. I kind of like all the nuances of the Cardinals' schedule next year. London, Cards and Cubs, press box, broadcasting live from there.
Yeah. Pub. Let's do it.
I'll go on the site check. We'll go there in October.
It'll be just like when the Rams went. All that tourism dollars you're going to get from London to come here.
Oh,
to watch
my goodness. Those London people, yeah.
I think it's different when MLB is branding it. Hey, we want to take our game overseas. It's another when Kevin Devoff goes live Did I say lie or live? Both. On Fox 2 to talk about the rollout. And, like, this is how tone-deaf they were. He's like, we have exciting news for our fans.
We're taking a home
we'll
game
now
away.
Play, like, four straight years over in London. And everybody's like, so that's less home? What? That's not a good deal. And then they're like, okay, you didn't like that. They thought it was actually something people would get excited about in St. Louis.
Tourism dollars. That was
this
one of
the... This will help our brand. Now, I understand they made a heck of a lot more money on those home games over there. They'd make a ton more than they made playing down at the Dome. Then just say that. Financially, we need this. But to tell people it was an exciting time to take the Rams there. But this is about the Cardinals. I'm sorry. Yeah, I think the Cards-Cubs-London deal would be kind of cool.
Yeah. Open up against the Orioles. You win that game at home. That's one you can't lose. You'll win that. And then you have the Yankees in July and Luke Voigt. Oh, when the Yankees come to town, it's always cool.
It's funny. I went through the entire schedule last night, Frank. I've got them at 87.
Big sports cast on Fox 2 last night.
I've got them at 87 and 75.
Oh, just wait till the roster is constructed. It'll go down.
Can I get you to 90?
Can I get you to 90? You
can
90?
I get you to London?
And finally, I'm going to cap off this Calorie Conscious Tuesday with a food picks. We're going to be at Al's on the Riverfront. Just got a text from Tom Stasiak. He said, I hope it's a 32-ouncer. Finest steaks in downtown St. Louis. Anybody been to Al's? No. You've not?
It's on my list.
It's on your list. I'll give you a full scouting report tomorrow. We'll take a short time out. 10:30, Dr. Rick Lehman is going to join us. Rick Hort at 11. Kenny Wallace at 11:30. We'll be right back.